Welcome to Quick Brain, bite-sized brain hacks for busy people who want to learn faster and achieve more. I'm your coach, Jim Quick.
Free your mind.
Let's imagine if we could access 100% of our brain's capacity.
I wasn't high, wasn't wired, just clear. I knew what I needed to do and how to do it.
I know Kung Fu.
Show me.
Welcome back, Quick Brains. I am your host, your brain coach, Jim Quick. Very dear friend, Dr. Daniel Amen. He's probably been on this podcast more than any other individual. He needs no introduction. Honestly, if I was to read his CV, it would take up the whole episode. He's a physician, adult and child psychiatrist. He's the founder of the Amen Clinics, which I am a patient at. They have 11 or so locations across the US. Amen Clinics has the world's largest database of brain scans, totaling more than 210,000 spec scans on patients from over 150 countries. His mission is to end mental illness by creating a revolution in brain health. He's written dozens of books, 40 plus books, including a dozen New York Times bestsellers. His most recent is this book I'm holding. If you're watching this on YouTube, which I encourage you to do because we put the extended version of the show there, it's called Raising Mentally Strong Kids. So how to combine the power of neuroscience with love and logic to grow confident, kind, responsible, and resilient children and young adults. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Amen.
Jim, so great to see you as always. Thank you for helping me spread the word about brain health and mentally strong kids.
Yeah, this will be a great topic, and this is really how to raise mentally strong kids in a rapidly changing world. And so why don't we start with this? I really enjoyed this book. I read it as a new father. Our son just turned 14 months, so I got to reading it from that context. In it, you advise parents need to care about raising mentally strong kids, that without mental strength, kids will not grow into competent young adults where they could really thrive. And so what role does mental strength play in their success? Why don't we start there before we go into the magic formula?
If children grow up with mental strength, if they grow up believing they have agency and efficacy, and they don't believe every stupid thing that just pops in their head, their mood is better, their relationships are better, and they have a happier, more effective life. And too often, parents go, oh, I just love this child so much, I never want them to suffer. And they do way too much for them, and they create weakness. And there are ways around that, that love is not doing too much. And that's often harder, right? Because as you think of your son at 14 months, and I think of now six kids, we adopted three, that it's what really is love is giving them the tools to create a life that they love. If I'm giving them too much, then I create entitlement, and entitled people are never happy people. So I'm very excited. I partnered with Dr. Charles Fay, who's the president of the Love and Logic Institute. And I love his program so much, but there wasn't any neuroscience in it. And I'm like, well, what if we blend brain health and the latest in neurodevelopment and neuroscience with this really empowering program? I'm so excited about it, and I'm excited you had me on.
I want to emphasize that, really, really score this, that love, it could be not doing everything for the children, because then in a way that will make them more weak. That with challenge comes change, right? With struggle leads to strength. I don't know one strong individual that had an easy life where everything was done for that individual. What trends are you witnessing regarding mental health, in your clinic, as you see patients for the young generation, kids, teens, young adults, are you witnessing concerning trends in this area, mental health?
It's horrifying. What's happening is actually horrifying. There's a new study the CDC put out, 54%, more than half of teenage girls report being persistently sad. 32% have thought of killing themselves, 24% have planned to kill themselves, and 13% have actually tried to kill themselves. It's like these are statistics never before seen in recorded history. And the incidence of addictions, ADHD, depression are escalating in boys and young men. And we have to go, why? And these trends actually occurred before the pandemic, but have accelerated since then. 25% of women are on antidepressants. Last year, there were 337 million prescriptions written for antidepressant medications. It's not good. And the way out, I believe, is through brain health and attachment. So what's the most important thing parents can do? They can create a solid bond. Now, that bond doesn't mean doing everything for them, but it's time with them, right? We live in a distracted society where we don't put our phones down ever. And listening. And if you do this exercise, I don't know if you and I have ever talked about special time, but it's just the most powerful exercise that I discovered a long time ago, is just spend 20 minutes a day with your son doing something he wants to do. And during that time, no commands, no questions, no directions. It's just be in his space. And at 14 months, it's sit on the floor, play blocks or something like that with him. And then just be a really good listener. I find parents talk way too much and talk over children and are not very good at listening to them. So if you have special time with listening, you notice the bond with them goes up, and the more attached they feel, the less anxious they are, the less distracted they are, less sad they are. And it's part of this formula for raising mentally strong kids.
These alarming indicators, these trends, you know, with these children, what is it that's contributing to harming their brains? And then this book is full of daily habits. Maybe we could list maybe a couple here, because obviously I recommend everyone gets the copy of your book, daily habits, foods, supplements to support their kids and even their own, right? Because part of raising mentally strong kids is being a mentally strong parent, right? And taking care of your own brain health. Sometimes as caregivers, we neglect, you know, we're taking care of everybody, taking care of things at work or in the responsibilities we have there. And where do we start?
So I've thought a lot about why. Kids are in trouble. And the ultra-processed foods, the distracted parents, social media, the negative news, and toxic products we put on their body. So most people never read the label. They might read the label of the food they feed their kids, but they never read the label of the sunscreen or the shampoo or the lotion they put on their bodies. And I'm absolutely convinced it's those things, social media creating a toxic level of self-absorption. Self-absorbed kids are never happy kids. And then the news, which you and I both know is not the news anymore. It's negative on purpose to drive eyeballs to sell pharmaceutical medications to the general public. And when you sort of step back as a neuroscientist and you look at what's happening in our society, it's like, well, no wonder it's not going in the right direction. You're absolutely right. The first principle of raising mentally strong kids is becoming mentally strong yourself, because every day you're modeling mental strength or you're modeling weakness. And so taking care of yourself is foundational. And then from a practical standpoint, one, know what you want. I tell all of my parents, what goals, what kind, you have to tell your brain what you want. What kind of parent do you want to be? I want to be present. I want to be firm. I want to be kind, right? And if you just remember those three things, present, firm, and kind, you'll always make good decisions when it comes to your kids. The little tiny habits, start every day with them. Hey, today is going to be a great day. And get them, nudge their brain to look for what's right rather than what's wrong. Negativity bias, if you or your child just tends to go to what's wrong, that is foundational for virtually every bad mental health outcome. It's anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, OCD. Their brains just tend to default to what's wrong rather than what's right. So start every day. Hey, today is going to be a great day. What are you looking forward to in your day? And when you put them to bed at night, go, what went well today? Because it sets their dreams up to be more positive. And one secret I talk about in the book is if you tend to have an argumentative, oppositional child, if you need to have a discussion with them about something important, take them on a walk. And for the first 10 minutes, don't bring it up. But exercise boosts serotonin availability in the brain, and they become more flexible the longer you're on the walk. See, if you just like brought it up when you're at home, might start a big fight. If you bring it up 10 minutes after you've taken them for a walk, they're going to be more open and more flexible.
Yeah, as your body moves, your brain grooves with children, you know, especially with that little exercise. You know, they'll get some, get out in nature, they get some fresh light and fresh air, dopamine, serotonin, those endorphins, maybe some oxytocin from the connection. I love what you said about with the parents, because as children, they don't do what you say, they'll do more what they see you do, right? They model you is the word that you use. And the life we live are the lessons we teach. But if the parents always on their phones or they're quick to anger, they have no state regulation or agency, then that could be the subtext of what you're communicating to your child. You mentioned neuroscience, and you say in the book that the secret to successful parenting lies in the marriage of neuroscience and psychology, right? Why take into account neuroscience and this practical psychology into successful parenting?
So your brain, the physical functioning of your brain, the moment by moment physical function of your brain creates your life, creates how you think, how you feel, how you act, how you get along with other people. And we live in a society where people don't love and care for their brains because you can't see it, right? You can see the wrinkles in your skin or the fat around your belly, and you can do something when you're unhappy with them. But based on all the scans we've done, I'm like, oh, my moment-by-moment habits help my brain be better, or they make my brain worse. And so learning to love and care for your brain. And there's one concept, foundational concept of myelinization, where when we're born, not much of our brain is wrapped with myelin. So if you take a neuron, myelinization is where over time that neuron gets wrapped with a white fatty substance called myelin. And myelin makes your neurons, brain cells, work 10 to 100 times faster. And wow. So when your son was born, he didn't have much myelin, but when he was about 2 months old, his occipital lobes and the back of his brain became myelinated. And when you would smile at him, he would smile back because his visual cortex worked much faster. Well, myelinization actually slowly starts in the back, and then it's not until about the age of 25 where the prefrontal cortex, the most human thoughtful part of it, becomes myelinated. And too often we think of people who are 16, 17, 18, sort of like baby adults, but they're not. And I think that's why God gave us parents, is we still need to be involved and supervising our kids really up to about the age of 25 when our frontal lobes finally become myelinated. And it's interesting is the insurance industry knew this before neuroscientists knew it, because when your insurance rates change about 25, because you're just much more likely to make a bad decision if you're behind the wheel of a car. And so what hurts myelinization? Marijuana, alcohol. Do you really want to be pouring that stuff in your brain when your brain is undergoing this wild development? Yet we're not teaching teenagers about loving and caring for their brain. And in the book, I talk about our high school course, Brain Thrive by 25, where we've been doing that for 15 years now. And it decreases drug, alcohol, and tobacco use, decreases depression, and improves self-esteem. But we need to make this a worldwide practice to teach young people to love and care for their brains, because it's not just about them. What we teach them, it's about generations of you. When a little girl is born, she's born with all of the eggs she'll ever have. And throughout her life, her habits turn on or off certain genes, making illness more or less likely in her, but also in her babies and grandbabies. So it's really important to understand development, neuroscience, and the practical implications, not just for the kids, but for generations of the kids.
And the more you know about your brain, you know, you're teaching people to know their brain, to love their brain, to start trusting their brain, and also really using their brain. Dr. Amen, why did you write it? Why should people get their copy? And where can they get it?
So I wrote it because kids are in historic trouble with their brain and mental health issues. I think the most powerful way out of this is through parents, is getting parents to be mentally strong and then teaching these principles. It's basically the most important things I've learned being a child psychiatrist over the last 40 years. And people can get it anywhere. Great books are sold. And if they go to raisingmentallystrongkids.com, we have all sorts of very cool pre-order gifts for them.
Outstanding. I would encourage everybody, if you enjoyed this episode, take a screenshot of wherever you're consuming it and post it online. Share it with your family, your friends, your followers, your fans. Tag Dr. Amen. He's all over social media. Tag myself so we get to see it. I'll repost some as I often do, just as a thank you for spreading the word. Because as Dr. Amen's flagship book, you know, says, you change your brain, you change your life, and you could change the life of the young adults and children in your life. And better to get them early, knowing their brain and loving their brain and using their brain properly, so we don't have to do this later in life. So, Dr. Amen, I want to thank you so much for being on our show again. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Jim. Always grateful to you.
All right, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. Especially watch the extended version and subscribe on YouTube. Join our 1.5 million subscribers there, where we put the extended version of this podcast. Everything we summarize and more at our show notes at jimquick.com/notes. There you'll find links to Dr. Amen's clinic. Also to the books that we mentioned of his, and so his social media and so much more. Until our next episode, just remember to love your brain and be limitless.